Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, the Monetary Authority of Singapore announced that Singapore will possibly enter its worst ever recession this year due to COVID-19. And beyond that, the outlook and eventual recovery is fraught with uncertainty. To survive the crisis, organizations must pivot from its initial firefighting stance to plotting their comeback. Leadership will be the key differentiator between organizations that come out stronger post-COVID and those which don't. We speak to Elissa Malis, the Managing Director of APEC at the Centre for Creative Leadership, to identify paradoxes that leaders will have to face as we slowly transit into a new state of normal. Elissa, lovely to speak to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start with how to best leverage leadership teams or boards to ensure you keep the right balance and pace during this prolonged crisis period.
Yes, well, we recently spoke to a number of C-suite leaders in Asia and discovered six paradoxes that leaders face as they navigate the COVID era. This COVID pandemic is the most significant crisis most of us have had to handle as business leaders in our career and in our lifetime. And we know we're just in the first couple kilometers of a marathon. Now, leadership has always been a balancing act, but now it is amplified by COVID. Mm. And 55 to 80% of leaders that we are speaking to say they are somewhat or very concerned that COVID will have a negative effect on their ability to lead. The first paradox we've identified is around slow down and go fast. So that has to do with pace. And fight or flight is our natural response. I think we all experienced here in Singapore the early weeks in February where we had cases in buildings and we were evacuating buildings and so on. But leadership teams and boards really do need to go faster to pivot and adjust businesses. At the same time, they need to pause frequently, particularly to consider whether the purpose of the organization is still relevant. For example, if you're an automotive company, the purpose may still be around mobility, but how you go about that may be very different. Customer needs may have shifted, so you need to shift, for example, for restaurants, dine-in to takeaway. And it is still very important to look at the long view. It's terribly noisy right now for leadership teams and boards. So they need to be able to move at a faster pace overall, pausing at the right moments to assess and predict.
Do you think leadership in larger organizations might have a tougher time? We always hear about how smaller companies are more nimble, more agile, able to pivot quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that agility is key, and large organizations do have opportunities to be more agile as well. A mindset of agility, programs to increase growth mindset and agility in employees, create more of an entrepreneurial spirit. These were things that large organizations were working on. I think they need to accelerate that in this next phase.
So, Elissa, what are some of the other more important people skills needed during this time? So you talked about having a growth mindset, that agility mindset.
There are two I want to emphasize in particular, and the first is empathy. First and foremost, this is a humanitarian crisis, and taking care of people is number one. That includes showing empathy toward employees, clients, vendors, partners, and the organizations and governments will be remembered for how they treat people right now. This is not just an economic crisis. However, the empathy needs to be balanced with tough love. And if employees cannot pivot fast enough, the organization will not succeed. Tough love is not about scolding, but it's about the question of to what extent are you pushing your employees to step out of the comfort zone. Second, very important, is a global mindset. And, you know, we've entered now, Howie, a new era of digital globalization where the movement of products and people across borders has decreased, but the movement of information and capital continues to increase. And the organizations and countries that are able to offer digital products globally will have a strategic advantage. That's true for Singapore. And we expect Asian leaders will be accelerated into taking on more significant regional and global roles in Western multinationals and Asian organizations as a result of all this. And so the Asian countries that are first to create a stronger pipeline of those Asian leaders with a truly global mindset will have a strategic advantage in this post-COVID era.
So taking those things that you just talked about, Elissa, the global mindset, the empathy coupled with the tough love, How then can organizations or leaders work out what's essential in the organization by way of the people? How do you work out who's with you, who's performing, so to speak?
And it's a tall order. You can hear the combination of things we're talking about for leaders.
It's quite disparate and yet have to go hand in hand.
Yeah. And, you know, six paradoxes. So it is a tall order. I think that, first of all, people are, and top talent is essential, continues to be the biggest asset for the organization. And all other measures should be taken before losing that key talent. Once you define what you do need for the future, these elements like the growth mindset, the global mindset, all of these things. And repurposing talent will be very important. In addition to that, and this relates to our paradox on axe fat and preserve muscle. And muscle is the people. So we're really suggesting that you look at all other measures. And right now, organizations are in the second round already of cost reductions. Look after all measures before you lose people, and especially key people. Technology costs are emerging as a business critical investment, infrastructure less so. So organizations are questioning the merits of maintaining large, high-end office spaces. So taking a balanced view of what to cut and how deep to cut, getting rid of the fat, preserving the muscle, and certainly people are key and number one.
So one of the positive outcomes of the pandemic resulting from work from home practices is the pace at which technology adoption has happened across the globe. And you touched on that a little bit, the digital transformation and how quickly businesses need to get on this bandwagon, so to speak. How then, though, can leaders balance tech and human touch at the same time? Because much as we're hearing anecdotally, having those Zoom meetings, it makes everything more efficient, but you're still sort of away from your colleagues and people are missing that sort of interaction at the water cooler, etc.
One of the leaders we spoke to said we're going through years of digital transformation in days, and it's true. This is a really tough one, and the paradox we've defined on this is high tech and human touch. I mean, if the purpose of technology is to contribute to a sustainable future for humanity, we quickly need to fix more ways for technology and human touch to coexist. I'm sure you've seen how either statistics are about half, 50% of people working, facing loneliness, anxiety in this age of social distancing. So one thing we're suggesting is let's not try to replace the human touch with well-being apps, although I prefer people use those compared to something like online gambling. Okay. I have to say that it shouldn't be a tick-the-box exercise for organizations. And really, we need to ensure that people are having better conversations in a digital world, that they continue to have very meaningful human touch interaction that includes getting coaching, getting feedback, having fun together. And so having better virtual conversations every day we see is possible. I'm experiencing that in my team. Doing fun things together is still very important. The human touch cannot be replaced.
What about, say, new work from home approaches and structures that have to be put in place to maintain accountability and productivity? Some have talked about how that feels a bit like you're keeping an eye on me, don't you trust me? And trust is also something else that leaders need to think about in terms of how much of it they extend to their employees.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're all wondering how we're going to go back to work when we have to put the second half of our outfit back on, the pants and everything else, right? After all, so I think one of the challenges is, first of all, not everyone will go back. A large proportion will continue to work from home. We're going to see fewer traditional jobs, more flexible jobs and workspaces. So this is a big pivot. For employers, I think trust is essential. And in fact, the fear that the pandemic is creating globally is causing a deterioration in trust. I think this is one of the biggest things leaders need to really look out for and work, again, maintaining the human touch to ensure that trust is maintained in leadership teams, and also extending that trust and having mechanisms to ensure accountability, to ensure that there's really good coordination, structures, alignment in the team in the virtual environment can help so that we maintain trust and we maintain the flexibility. I think especially many high potential talent will now expect to have that flexibility of being in the office and working from home.
Alyssa, this has been talked about in the leadership space for some time already. Let's do performance-based KPI, so to speak, rather than FaceTime KPI, if you will. That I need to see you, that you're in the office means you're working. is something that needs to be forgotten, doesn't it?
Yeah, so certainly having methods and collaborative platform structures, tracking mechanisms is very important going forward. Keeping, especially to keep people who tend to be distracted more focused and accountable. I've noticed for work from home, the arrangement works very, very well for some people. Mm. And for others, they're finding it challenging to maintain that focus, that accountability. So I think KPI structures going forward need to cater to that and look at, regardless of whether we're all together, how do we track and stay aligned on projects, on tasks, really step by step. And this is going to be particularly important for the people who need those structures and accountabilities to keep themselves on track.
How best, though, can businesses leverage their leadership teams to ensure there's that right balance, control and flexibility, that your people are still productive, but they're accountable for what they're doing?
One thing I've noticed is when we ask leaders on these paradox to say what we need more or less of, there's an assumption that we just need a lot of flexibility right now, that everything in this virtual working is around flexibility. So the first thing is for leaders and leadership teams to assess themselves. We've been working with many leadership teams, seeing where are they on these paradoxes, on these balancing acts. And when it comes to this one, many say more on the side of flexibility. What we're saying is probably you need to be in the middle and in some cases still maintaining control and perhaps doing it in different ways. So I think for leadership teams to get the right balance also means knowing where they are now and where they need to be in the COVID era in this next 12 to 18 months. And in some cases, more control, just control in a virtual environment. And I think that's a hard concept because many have been in the mindset that in order to have control, you have to be face-to-face. And that's really not true.
So, Alyssa, perhaps better definitions of what to be flexible on. I'm all right if you don't want to take off your pajama trousers and put on actual trousers, but I need to see daily check-ins that some of these things are being done.
Yes, and you know what becomes important now, even what we're seeing for many businesses, is a process where they had to take 20 steps to do something can be done potentially as we need to move faster and be innovative in 10 steps to iterate. And so knowing what are the outcomes that we need in the business and tracking to those rather than, as you said, something, you know, whether the trousers that you can't see, that doesn't matter anymore. So I think looking at what does matter and tracking to those outcomes is also a big pivot and adjustment for businesses, because in many cases we're tracking lots of things that half of those things don't matter anymore.
But do be sure that you wear some sort of trousers. No one needs to see your hairy knees. Alyssa Malis, the Managing Director of APEC at the Center for Creative Leadership. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us today and stay safe.
Thanks, Howie. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.